Well, you may know that the theme for today is Foreign Affairs and Commonwealth Office. And you will know, of course, that the Foreign Office is about world peace and justice and intelligence. And the book of Amos that was read for us, or the small portion, is really about justice. And we're going to look together at Matthew's Gospel. So if you have a Bible open, I do think that sermons are better when everyone shares in them. So if you could turn to Matthew chapter 28 and we'll study God's word together. It's about the Great Commission, which I'm sure is very familiar to all of you. Well, the Foreign Office are obviously responsible for safeguarding the UK's national security. They have ambassadors throughout the world, or high commissioners. And in my previous life, I had quite a lot to do with the Foreign Office. But I'm going to really talk, because the time is short this morning, on Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20 that was read for us. And because I'm trying to be a great conform to the Anglican way of life, you'll notice that the sermon will be divided into three points: the great claim, the great commission, and the great comfort. And it's obviously important for us all to appreciate that the God of the Bible is a speaking God, and he's spoken, and we need to listen to what he's got to say. So after the death and resurrection of Christ, he makes the greatest of all claims, and it's actually there in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What an absolutely amazing claim. All authority over everything in heaven and on earth. He's got authority over everything which authority can be executed. And, you know, from Matthew's point of view, it's kind of obvious, really, because he had seen the authority of Jesus all through the last chapters, the 27 chapters leading up to this one. For the last 3 years, he was describing what he had seen as an eyewitness: authority over nature, calming the sea, over the supernatural, casting out demons, and lots of other examples in the gospel account. But here in chapters 27, 28, in particular, Jesus has conquered two of our greatest enemies. What are they? Well, one and the second is death. And in his death, he died in our place, and he quenched the wrath of God. You know, we've got communion to this morning. You remember on the night before his death, in the garden, he prayed, "May this cup pass from me." What's all that about? Well, it's the idea that it was a cup of judgment, a cup of wrath. And when he died, he cried out, you remember, "It is finished." Not "I'm finished," but "it is finished," because he drank every drop of the cup of judgment and judgment and wrath that you and I deserved. He died in our place. So he conquered sin and death in his resurrection. He conquered death, our great enemy. And those, of course, of us who trust will also be raised from the dead. So the meaning of the resurrection is not primary that we are important to God, though we are. It's not primary that there's life after death, though there is. It's not primary that we can go to Jesus with all our needs, though we can. I think the primary and most important meaning is that God has given Christ all authority over heaven and earth. He is Lord over life and death, over the present and the future. And his authority is unrestricted, it's unqualified, it's unending. In other words, it's universal. It's over all people, all places, at all times, for all eternity. What a very extraordinary claim to start our Sunday services. Do you think it possible that Jesus could be any other than the Son of God? He's got authority in heaven and earth, over the universe. It means that everyone, without exception, bow the knee to Christ. It means if we belong to Jesus Christ, we're free because we are under his authority. You know, there's nowhere in the world where Jesus is not Lord. You see, I think one of the problems that we have is that we listen to ourselves more than we actually talk to ourselves. You know, talking to yourself is not a sign of madness. And often we allow bitterness and anger and revenge and hatred to dominate our thoughts and our minds because of some injustice. Instead of telling ourselves, look, Jesus is Lord. He has authority. He will see that justice is done, that all wrongs will be put right. Or do we constantly allow the devil to remind us of our sins, our failures, our brokenness? There's not a single person here who doesn't have something they're not proud of. We all have secrets and perhaps broken promises. Perhaps actions or words have caused enormous damage to those we love and we can't take it back. So Satan says to you, you can't be used by God. In actual fact, do you think you're a Christian at all? Do you think God has forgiven that? Jesus has all authority, paid the price for our sin and our sins. Imagine that. He's paid the price if you are a son and daughter of Christ, because there is no condemnation. So lecture yourself, talk to yourself about the truth. He is Lord over everything, over your financial fears, over your struggles, how you're going to pay the mortgage, over your medical results that you're waiting for, your concerns about your family, your children, your future. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's even Lord over your death. Do you know that? God has ordained a date that you were born. He has ordained a date of your death. Why? Because he's Lord. The primary cause of my death will not be some illness or a car crash. That will be a secondary cause. The primary cause of my death will be God saying, David, today is the day, time to come home, because he's Lord of life, he's Lord over death. Secondly, the Great Commission. So firstly, we've been thinking about the great claim that he has authority over everything, the Great Commission. You know, it'd be a great pity if we sitting here this morning thought that these verses only applied to the professionals and the clergy and the missionaries. These verses apply to us all and to all churches. It's precisely because Jesus has authority in heaven and earth that there is nowhere in the world where Christ, every nation, every... Because of verse 18, that Jesus has the right to say, go and make disciples of all nations, of all people groups. And so many people today, folks, and we know this, we live in a very, very secular society, don't have a clear witness of the gospel. The UK has a very proud record of sending missionaries all over the world to the China Inland Mission and Hudson Taylor and Africa and so on. But we can never look back and say we've done our bit. It's done and dusted. It's not. We can't say we've got enough problems in our own country, in our own village. Let's sort that out first. It's never either or. It's always both. We can't say the job's complete. It isn't. Millions of people today have still no credible witness of the gospel. And what did Jesus say? He said, make disciples, not converts. Make disciples. Not alliance to a specific church, but a personal alliance to become a disciple of Christ. Baptize. We've got a baptism service here after this service. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because unlike conversion, which is private and personal, baptism is a public confession of faith, saying, I belong to God's family, and teaching them. We, you know, in this country, very often are just pygmy Christians. Teaching, we need to understand what this Bible says. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Teaching them the words of Jesus, the words of the Bible. So very briefly then, the great comfort. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I guess when the disciples first heard that, they probably thought it a bit weird and a bit strange. Jesus was just about to leave them with the ascension. And yet he says, I am with you always. And of course he's talking about the Holy Spirit, because when we become a Christian, God, the Holy Spirit, of course, comes into our lives. He invades our life. you and I are in Christ. You have the Spirit of Christ within you. But let's not take the promise out of the context of this few verses that we're looking at. You see, the best way to have Christ with you is actually when you're working for him. Of course, Christ is with us if we are believers. We're never alone. But he's especially, I think, with us when we're serving him and working for him and obeying the Great Commission to share the gospel. Sometimes we say, and I often say it, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't have the gifts. I don't have the education. I don't have the knowledge. Let the professionals do it. Well, Matthew doesn't let us off the hook, does he? It's for all of us. And you will know the presence of God even more, particularly when you are serving him, because the place that Christ teaches us most is when we grow, and when we grow the most and shape the most is when we're serving him and his people. So this morning, can I just leave you with this thought? If you've been ducking and diving about your walk with God for a while, wouldn't it be a good day just to submit to Christ as Lord? Wouldn't it be a good day today to say, I need to change a few things in my life. I perhaps need to change my diary. I need to change my priorities. Give time and energy to serve God and his people, because that is when I think we grow as Christians and when we will know the closeness of the Lord more than ever. Well, this is meant to be about the Foreign Office. I haven't touched on it much, but you know more about the Foreign Office perhaps than I do. You know that we have people around the world representing our country. Well, the gospel is good news for all people, and we are representing God as his ambassadors here on earth. May it be so. Amen.